Our son, the voice of reason from Gangstagrass. I've been waiting to get him arranged to be on the show since Gray Fox, and I've told the story before at Gray Fox. Gangstagrass may have been the most impactful stage show I saw that night, the most unexpected, the most impactful. They were not a headliner in the nighttime. When everybody's ready, they took that midday crowd and absolutely put them in their pocket and walked away, and I was just immediately taken with the whole concept, the music, the message, everything about it. And our son and I connected right away, and we're going to have him. I called him just a minute ago. He's still ready, and as you know how this program goes, we just talk about music and stuff. And I think if I've done this correctly, I should have our son, the voice of reason, on the phone. You there, my friend?
I am here. What's going on, man?
Listen, I was just, I called you a little early because I was playing a live cut from that Gray Fox stage CD, and it just went long, but I just couldn't cut it off. I just couldn't. It was like a six-minute version of Gunslinger and Rambler. Man, I just couldn't end it now, and it reminds me, it takes me right back to that moment when Gangstagrass was on the stage at Gray Fox, and we were talking about that a bit, but I want to talk to you about what you guys were seeing from the stage and what you expected. Just take me back to that moment, because it blew my mind, friend.
It blew my mind, too. I was expecting good things. Our banjo player, Dan, has been attending Gray Fox for years and has been loving it and went so far as to let us know that we need to be doing this as opposed to, because we were supposed to go back to Prague.
Yeah.
That same weekend. We had gone to Prague last year for the Colors of Ostrava Festival. So we went there and had a great time. It was fabulous. We were supposed to be going back, and the Gray Fox came up, and Dan was like, we need to do Gray Fox. So I was like, all right, you know, as good a time as we had in Ostrava last year, let's try something new. And so we tried it, and I was expecting it to be good, and it was fantastic. It was absolutely fabulous. And the crowd was giving us, you know, exactly what we needed from them, and it was a lot of energy, and we had a ball. We had an absolute blast.
Well, you know, I was sitting in my little broadcast booth. I was up there the whole time, and I met you right before and after your that show up on the main stage. I was sitting just to the right of the stage, if you're on stage, and I'm just to the right of that. And, man, I just saw the whole crowd just rise up. And a couple, you know, a few seconds into the first song, you had them the whole time, and they never sat back down. Now, this is in the middle of the day, and, you know, this is the crowd's been there for a while, and they were all on their feet. And you, from the stage, you must have thought, man, this is really working well. I mean, I can't imagine what was going through your head. And that's why I wanted to talk to you about it, because I know that I spoke to you a little bit afterwards, and you were like duly impressed with what was going on with that reception.
I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed because, you know, we've done some shows where, you know, we've always been received well, but there's all, you know, every now and again you'll get those shows where people are sitting and clapping. And, you know, that's fun, and it's good, and we appreciate that. But when the people are giving us the energy back, that's when we're really, really feeling it. And it's like, okay, you want some more? We got more to give.
Yeah.
And the more we get from the crowd, the more we feel like we're able to give back. And yeah, they were giving it to us.
Man. Oh,
we had
man.
A great time.
It was an unbelievable vibe. I got up and left my booth, and I caught you right after the behind the stage, and I talked to you before because I gave you my best pen with my best flashlight on the end of it.
I'm loving this pen.
I hope you still got
it right now.
Is it really? Well, I want
it
you to be
in
that
my pocket right now.
I want you to be that.
I left my size and forgot it.
I want you to use that to shine your light on the world. All right. I want you to use that as a reminder to shine that voice of reason out there, because brother, we need it. But I just thought, man, this. I watched the crowd and I listened to it, and I thought, you guys had them in the. You had them in your palm the whole time now. I mean, and it was just a remarkable. The music was great. I wanted to play a live cut before I broke to you, because I know that you do some, in part of the hip-hop that you're in, the voicing that you're doing, you're improvising and relating it to the Gray Fox crowd, and it was all just like tailored. It was beautiful.
We, with a lot of the older Gangstagrass stuff before Dolly and I became, you know, the official Traveling MCs with the band.
Right.
The Brother Tones did a lot of the tracks on the first album. And, you know, there's been a lot of guest MCs and a lot from the last two albums. So when we do those songs, we either have to, you know, create our own verses, and a lot of that stuff I'll just freestyle it. I've been rhyming since I was in first grade. I wrote my first rhyme on the back of the school bus. And we, you know, in hip hop, a lot of the, you know, a lot of the freestyle picking that you see from banjo players and stuff in bluegrass, you get a lot of that freestyle emceeing and rhyming from hip hop MCs. So to kind of keep your skills up, I do that all day. You know, if I'm in the car, and I'll put some beats on, and I'll just rhyme to myself.
Okay.
And so when there's a crowd there, I really like to be able to impress, to see if I can impress them with something that I'm doing and something that I'm saying. So the written stuff, the stuff from the albums, and the, and our older stuff that we've incorporated into the shows is fun, and I love doing it, but I really love freestyling because it keeps me, it keeps my head sharp.
Yeah.
And it keeps me able to really, when I sit down to write, to be able to, you know, as thoughts are just coming to my head, I can take those thoughts and then fix them a little bit for the written stuff. But when I'm on stage, I'm just trying to, you know, bounce off of stuff that I see in the crowd, stuff that's happening during the day and stuff in current events or whatever, and keep the crowd really interested in what's going on.
Well, and that, and that's when you're really just on the top of the creation moment, when you're up there and you're just like, you know, you have some rhymes in your head, I know that you've probably put together before, but to fit it to the crowd and the circumstance like you did, that has to be a really on-edge feeling, because you're just like you say, you're just creating as you're standing there. You're just going with it. And it's
so much fun. And the best part about it is watching the crowd to react to what's being said and seeing if they're catching some of the stuff that, you know, if I'm looking off into the crowd and I'm seeing a guy in a red sweater and I react to that, I want to see if they're catching that.
Yeah.
And when they do, those moments, those are the best. For me personally, those are the best.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I want to talk about hip-hop a little bit. I want to talk about the MC and the hip-hop that you're mentioning, because I want to put a little bit of groundwork to that, if you've got time to lay it out for me.
I also
want to tell you this, because of where I camp when I'm at Gray Fox, people don't come to see me, but I'm next to some pretty cool people, and there's kind of a constant stream. There's a constant stream of great banjo players that show up right adjacent to me, because I'm fortunate enough, because of a friend of mine, I'm hanging out there with Bill Keith, who's a banjo legend. Well, some of the guys came by late, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and a banjo player came by, and he said, I was still just kind of, man, did you see Gangstagrass? Everybody I saw, did you see Gangstagrass? And this guy says, we had a player sitting there, a guy named Ryan Cavanaugh, was playing some John Coltrane stuff because he knows I'm into jazz, so he was playing Giant Steps. And this guy says, the hip-hop, the MCs you just saw in Gangstagrass, they are the Coltrane of hip-hop. I mean, that's what the guy said, and this guy's a good player. And I thought, all right, that's pretty accurate.
That's, yeah, you know what, The funny thing about hip hop, especially the musical side of the culture itself, is that where the backbone is the DJs. You know,
right.
None of us would be able to do what we do without our DJs. The MCs are the ones that really bring it to life for the crowds. You know, MC stands for Master Ceremonies, obviously.
Okay.
And you know, has been used for so many things, microphone controller. And so when you're MCing with a crowd, and when you're the guy that's responsible for making sure that the message gets out there to everybody that's there, and that the people that are there are focused on you, it's your job, and it's my job to, you know, entertain them and to give them something to remember. Be it a stanza that you spit for them, or the way you said something, or just how you made them feel at the moment when they're listening to a song. And that's for me, the most important part. And the greatest MCs have always been able to do that. Your KRS-One's from Boogie Down Productions, your Rakim's, your Black Thought from The Roots, my personal favorite MC in the world. These guys, you know, when you hear what they're saying, you'll take these moments, especially when you're listening to them recorded, and you listen to something and you hear it, and you listen to it again, and you really, really get what they're saying, you're like, wow. You know, so, and then when you see that, when you have that moment with them live and you hear that line that you heard that blew your mind when you were listening to it on the CD, to see them live and do it is like the greatest feeling in the world.
Mm. Well, listen, I got to see you do it live, and it was a pretty great feeling. So I can't compare to what you're saying, but I know what you guys did, and I interrupted you. I didn't mean to, but go ahead. You were talking about this.
No, I was going to say, I got a chance a few years ago to see Lauryn Hill from the Fugees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Fugees and A Tribe Called Quest, another, you know, classic hip-hop.
Sure. I do know that.
When I was at Penn State. And there's this amazing verse that Lauryn did on a song called Zealots. And it's one of those songs that I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard it. And so I had it memorized. And I was front row, and they were doing Zealots, and they were performing the song, and she was singing it, and I was singing it right back to her. Mm-hmm. And it was just this like, ephemeral thing. And I was like, nothing beats this ever. Until the first time I was doing Gunslinging Rambo in, I think we were in Portland, Oregon, and there was a kid in front of me on stage, and he's singing along with me, and I was like, wow, like, that just completely floored me, to the point where it felt like he knew it better than I did.
Oh, man.
And it was outstanding. It was one of those where I'll never forget it. I'm watching this kid, and he's singing along every word. And I'm like, wow.
See, you're part of that transferring that whole feeling back out again, the one that you saw
on here. Yeah,
you're transferring it back out. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That blew my mind. And I went up to him after the show, and I was like, you know, you just put me in a place that I was in before, like on the other side, and it's the best feeling. It's one of the best feelings I've ever had.
Did you, from the stage at Grey Fox, could you tell how many people were singing the words?
Every now and again, I'll catch some.
I know you have things to do other than look around, but I'm telling you this, from my vantage point, man, I thought, how do these people know every word to every song you're singing? And I mean, of course, they're fans, but I'm thinking, how do they have time to learn all these things?
That's all I'm doing. When I'm on stage, I'm staring directly at the crowd. You know, I'm moving around and such, but when I'm in the midst of a verse, I'm watching the crowd and seeing who knows what. And, you know, I'm looking for those people that know the words and watching their reactions to stuff. I did a show in Eastern Maryland a couple of years ago, and one of the verses that I use, you know, I would rap about leap over the abyss to face the Scylla and Charybdis, and I'm watching this guy, and this guy has to be about 65 years old, and that caught him, you know, like a mythological reference in verse caught him, and he started cracking up, and he had a big smile on his face, and after the show, he came up to me, he was like, I never, ever thought I would hear the Scylla and Charybdis mentioned in another song that wasn't, you know, the Sting song, the song on Ten of Summoner's Tales, where Sting mentions being called between the Scylla and Charybdis. And he was like, I never thought I would hear that, especially from a rap song. And I'm like, well, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And the fact that he caught it and noticed it, and that, you know, that people get the stuff that I'm saying, that's the kind of stuff that makes me keep writing.
Oh, man, that's great. I mean, it's just, and that was, I've tried to explain to people, and you're helping me flesh out this feeling that I had after your show up in New York, and that happened the entire time. And I hope that you felt it, because I could see it.
I really did.
Oh, man, it was, and really did. You know, you guys went overtime, I think, a little bit, because people wouldn't let
you
leave.
Yeah, we did. We do that a lot.
And the stage manager was like, holy jeepers, crying, I got to get this other people on there. And what I thought was cool, I mean, people wanted you to go further, and it did a little more. And tell me about the other Dolio, I want to say his name. Is that right?
Dolio the Sleuth. Yeah. Actually, Dolio is the reason I'm with Gangster.
Okay, explain that.
He and I met in 99 up at Penn State University. He was working up there, and I had just finished school, and we were just kind of hanging out. And we met in the cypher. It was a bunch of guys just hanging out one night rhyming. So we met up there and connected there, and I came back to Philly. He eventually moved down to Philly, and we reconnected down here. You know, just hung out a few times, but stayed real cool. After he left Penn State, he was in New York, met Wrench, and they were in a group together called Battlestar, which was doing a similar thing, a little bit more honky-tonk, And they were in this group together. So, you know, eventually B-Star broke up. Right put together Gangsta Grass with Tones.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted to go on tour. Well, Tones wasn't available to go. So he reached out to Dolio. Dolio was working 9 to 5. He wasn't available to go either. So Dolio reached out to me and was like, "Brant, I know this guy. He's going on tour with his band. It's a bluegrass hip-hop band."
Mm-hmm.
Which blew my mind. I'm
I'd like to be inside your mind when you heard that concept.
Mind you, this was a Tuesday afternoon that he called me.
Okay.
He said, "There's a show Wednesday night. They're doing a show in Philly, and then they're doing three shows in North Carolina. Do you want to do it?" I work in a comic book store. I have the best job in the world, and it's very, very flexible. So I talked to my boss. I was like, "You know, I do this weekend. The money's good. I'm going to give it a shot." And he's like, "Sure." You know, we worked it out. We do a show Wednesday night in Philly, and I just do some old verses, some freestyles and stuff. That night, I meet Wrench, his fiddle player at the time was a guy named Jason Cade, Ellery Marshall was on the banjo, and Todd Livingston was on the dobro. We get in the van that night. We go down to North Carolina. We do three shows in North Carolina. Come back that Sunday or Monday, I forget. And ever since then, it's been like, wow, that was amazing. Let's do this some more. And so ever since then, we've been putting it together. And then Dolio got back involved with it. So he and I have been doing more songs together. We actually we put out an EP together about a month ago. For another project that we're working on, a group called Mental Advisory.
Okay.
It's a little bit more strictly hip-hop thing,
sure.
But one of the songs has a great guitar sample that our banjo player, Dan Whitener, did. He was just playing guitar in the van, and we, you know, recorded it, sampled it, put a track together.
Yeah.
Wrench is actually on one of the tracks on it, doing an amazing verse. A lot of people don't know that Wrench is an amazing MC.
Isn't it great that Arsman, that these different musical things can come together and you can borrow from each other and it works. I mean, it's not just like you're doing it for the sake of let's put these two styles together. What you're doing is working because it fits together so well, and you got to do it well.
We're just making music.
Exactly.
I've been explaining to people for a while that bluegrass and hip hop music are not very dissimilar. Where they come from is a very similar place. You know, and as far as the people making them and the way that it's made, a lot of it is just guys at home with what they have creating music. And you know, that's all hip hop was. You know, there was a couple guys that had some turntables. They came outside, were spinning the records and, you know, bringing the beats back and forth on the break. And, you know, a couple guys just started off just kind of getting the crowd hyped up, and then they actually started rhyming and started creating this whole thing and building this thing. Well, the same thing was going on. You know, it was a bunch of dudes just kind of hanging out, you know, with their banjos or with their fiddles, and they were making music, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it's the same thing happening just in different geographic states. You know, the hip-hop guys probably had a little bit more drums from the sampled records. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, and
a lot of the stories are the same.
Exactly. That's exactly the point I was going to make. Go with that for a minute, because that's exactly what I was going to say.
Well, one of the issues that we've encountered from a couple of people is the idea of how violent hip-hop is.
Huh?
Well, yeah, certainly. But, you know, go back and listen to some old murder ballads.
That's right.
You know, there's a whole lot of dead folks in bluegrass.
That's right.
And these are the stories that cats are telling, you know. Yeah, neither good, bad, nor indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's not new. It's not new to hip-hop. This is just a musical thing, and these are stories that people tell through their music.
Yeah, you know, it gets me about the old bluegrass murder ballads. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when you listen to them, go back and listen to them again, and you will find, every time I listen to them, and I know which ones you're talking about, because there's so many of them, but there's no remorse. I mean, somebody was killed, but it's like, you know, you get the feeling, I'd have done it again.
yeah, no remorse at all. And they're really good, though, you know, the two blend so well because they are so similar. You know, there's such a they like I said, they work out so well because they're coming from the same place.
Our son, and this is a word that has a lot of different meaning. It actually has a musical style attached to it, but it's really coming from the soul of the individuals.
Exactly.
You know, it's not,
exactly.
I don't mean to fall into saying it's soul music, but you know what I'm saying. It comes from deep inside.
From people's very soul. Yeah. And the best of any music comes from there.
Exactly.
You know, from very deep in within you, either, you know, whether it's the best party jam or, you know, the deepest, most meaningful song ever written, it came from deep within somebody and what they felt, how they felt about the world at the time when they wrote it.
And to take it a little further, when Bill Monroe was crafting what we all credit him as being the father of bluegrass, you know, he stole from blues, he stole from black musicians traveling through the mountains, he stole from mountain music. It's all blues. It's blues, which is still coming from that same soul that we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, cool.
And that's why it all works out so well together. And when we went to, Folk Alliance Festival.
Okay.
We went to Folk Alliance last year in Toronto and just had an amazing time and had the same effect on people. Like, they heard the idea. You know, when I tell people I'm a bluegrass hip hop band, I get the same look from everybody. Like, what?
Well, they think it's a gimmick. Unless they've heard the music, Garson, they think it's some sort of a gimmick.
I'm like, just listen to it.
Yeah.
And of all of my friends, I had one guy tell me, I just don't get it. And I get that. Okay, that's cool. But I haven't heard anybody say, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody involved takes what they do very seriously. I like what I like. I'm a fan of my own music. I love Dolio's verses. Mm-hmm. That dude can write some amazing stuff. I love the way his mind works. Rent's production, like the way stuff just kind of progresses. And a friend of mine wanted to be able to play some of our stuff. She looked up for the sheet music. There's no sheet music.
No.
A lot of it is, you know, somebody comes in and plays, and he records all of it. And then he just, you know, in true hip-hop producer fashion, chops up what he needs, samples that, and, you know, puts a track together. And, you know, the way that it's built, the two sort of different musical styles, the way that he builds using both styles is just phenomenal. It's really, really amazing.
See, and I'm glad that you're taking the time to explain that for the people that aren't familiar with hip-hop, it's not just, you know, there's more to it. You write, you go through a progression in your mind. You have some rhymes handy so you can build around those, if I can try to summarize this for myself. But you also...
Every now and again. A lot of it, when I go off, when I'm freestyling, a lot of that, like when I do the band discussions, mm-hmm. I try to make them different every single time.
Okay, good.
Every now and again, some stuff will get, you know, reused or whatever, but I do my best to do that different every single time. When I do the song 2 Yards, on the albums, you know, it's two written verses, and when we do it live, I'll perform the first verse. The second verse, I will freestyle it to wherever we are.
That's amazing.
So,
that
you know,
amazing.
Whatever the venue, whatever state, wherever, whoever's there, you know, I'm trying to create a very specific experience for the people that are there, so... that's the verse they heard at their show, and if they come to a show tomorrow somewhere else, they're going to hear a different verse. I got a friend in California who did that. She came to our San Francisco show, and she came to the LA show the next day, and she got a completely a very different show.
I can't imagine. I can, you know, of course, and okay, people take solos, and different musicians, let's just put it in a player's, they take solos and they kind of go out and they venture out a little bit further, and I can see it and I can hear it when they kind of like, how did I get here? But I didn't see anything where you were going out and making these rhymes as you're going from stage where you didn't know exactly where you were going to get back. You know, at some point you got to build this thing out and you got to bring it back and tie it together. But man, it was so smooth. It was so smooth.
Yeah, well, most of what we did on the first show was, you know, stuff that we was relatively scripted. But I'll go off the top of the head if I need to. For example, last weekend we did 2 shows in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for Bethlehem Music Fest, and Dolio wasn't available to come. His son was just born this week, so he was at home with his wife, and so I did the entire show, and I had to do a lot more. So there was a lot, you know, I used some older verses, but there was a lot more off the head. And I don't mind doing that because, again, it keeps me sharp. And it one of the things that I want to do with my music, with the hip-hop music that I create, is to show people that don't know hip-hop that this is an art form, that this is there's work involved in this, and that those of us that are doing it and that it means something to, it means a lot to you.
Yes.
Just like when Dan is doing, because when Dan and Landry and Adriel, when they do their solos, like, there's different stuff that they're doing every time, and they're working that. And you know, we went on tour, and there were moments where you wouldn't see Dan for hours, and he would just be in his room just playing, and you know, just working it out. I do the same thing, and you know, I've met people that say that hip hop artists aren't musicians because we're not actually playing something. I'm like, okay, you can assume that, but when I'm playing is my mind and my vocabulary. I'm trying to be able to create things. And
I love that description. That is so perfect. I love that. Playing your mind.
I want people to leave my shows or to be done listening to a Gangstagrass CD or a Mental Advisory CD or one of my solo CDs. And be like, wow, okay, that he meant that, and what he was doing there took work. I want people to be able to appreciate that.
Well, that's listen, man, it came across real clear up in New York, and it's just like, man, this is something special. I got to find a way to. I run after people with it. I really want to talk to them. And I ran after you. I said, man, we got to do this, and we've been working on it for a while. But I'm telling you, I've told people on this show and leading up to this that, you know, the merchandise tent was swamped. Now, it's
that blew my mind.
I mean, you guys were sitting. I could see in your eyes. You're thinking, when are these people going to stop coming in? Well, you sold everything out, and I think someone found another box somewhere else, and it was gone too.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That's the kind of thing that, you know, when people hear what we're doing, they're like, I need to take this with me.
Exactly.
That means a lot. That says a lot to me that what we're doing as a collective is really reaching the people and transcending any sort of boundaries that you may have in your head of what you think we might be doing.
Exactly.
And it's really coming across as meaningful.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a message. Each song has a different message. And by message, I don't mean that it's all good and light. I'm just saying you're communicating. And what I really want to say is you're communicating, the crowd's communicating back. And when you guys went to the tent, I couldn't get anywhere near it. And I had access to the back of it. I'm behind the stage. I couldn't even get near it from behind.
Yeah, and that surprised me. It surprised the heck out of me. I was not expecting it at all. But, you know, we loved it, and everybody was really, really nice. And, you know, the kids were there, and that's the other thing that I found impressive is that, you know, how many kids are like, wow, you guys are really good. I feel bad for kids listening to a lot of popular music these days because a lot of it's very vapid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'll be on and getting in the kids' heads, and they sort of accept that as real quality music. So there's a lot of stuff I won't let my kids listen to. I'll play my stuff for them. I'll play Dan's album for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll play them some of the old Gangstagrass stuff. But I think when I see kids at our shows, when I see kids, when I go to various like live hip hop shows and festivals and that kind of stuff, and there's kids there, that tells me that, you know, whoever brought them there, whoever's involved in their lives, music means something to them,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just having some sound in the background to make you dance to a little bit.
Man, I love what you're saying. I love how you're describing it because I can still see it in my head. There were kids in the audience, and everything you're saying, it relates immediately to me because I had that experience. So I hope that the people listening get that we're not just making this stuff up. This is really what happens, and this is what you see when you see our son and Gangstagrass. You will see this connection that happens. And man, it's hard to put in words. I've tried, and my head was still spinning. Like I said, 3 o'clock in the morning that night. And I was still talking about, you know, this may be the act. This may be the act that blew my mind for the whole there were great acts everywhere, but I knew what the music was, but see, I hadn't seen you live, and I think that's the connection.
Yeah, yeah. I love our recorded stuff, and listening to the albums, but when you come to see us live, then you're really going to get it. You're really going to. Yeah, when you see the look on Landry's face when she's going crazy on a dobro, when you see, you know, 90% of the time, even on the craziest verses, like on Rainstorm in Kentucky, Dolly and I are smiling at each other because we're loving doing it.
Since you started doing this, have you gone back and listened to other different bluegrass bands, or have you tried to go back and sample other things, or?
I have. Usually when we're on the road, Wrench is driving, so he'll put something on, and we'll be playing something. And if I'm awake, because our van is like a hyperbaric chamber. As soon as you're in it, you're unconscious. But you know, he'll put on some stuff, and I'm like, what is this? You know what I mean? And he'll break it down for me, and let me know what it is. And you know, a lot of it I'm listening to. A lot of the music itself, I'm listening to from a very hip-hop standpoint. I'm listening, and I'm like, that would make a cool sample. That's how I was listening to it originally. And now I'm listening to the whole song, and I'm like, wow, that is fantastic. And, you know, the way stuff is building and how the instruments are coming in and out. And, you know, that, for me, this experience has changed the way I listen to a lot of music, particularly bluegrass music, because I had heard some, had a little bit of country growing up in my life. My dad's a big Charlie Daniels Band fan, for example. Yeah. His favorite song in the world is Devil Went Down to Georgia.
I met Charlie earlier this year and had a blast interviewing him for the show, and he's still doing it, man.
Yeah, an amazing song. And so now that I'm picking up more of it and being involved in more of it and hearing more of it, I'm like, wow, this is way deeper than I thought. And, you know, I'll hear some cats and be like, you know what, this would be pretty dope with a drum underneath it. That's just, you know, the hip-hop just kind of jumps out at me. I'm like, oh, that would be great. And then I'm like, oh, wait, just listen. And this, a lot of the singing for me is really, really starting to get into my head. The way, like, the
so tight.
The emphasis behind a lot of what they're saying and the way that, especially the women. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I've seen there's this great band, I think they're Canadian, called Chic Amin.
Okay. I don't know them.
They had one of the girls from the band on the album. Okay. Man, are they fantastic. And the way, like, the harmonizing of all the, when you got multiple singers and the way they're harmonizing all this stuff, it's phenomenal. And I'm like, man, this should be everywhere. This should be on everything. And I like the fact that I'm able to pick up so much more of music in general from being involved in Gangstagrass. You know, these guys have really opened me up to a lot of different kinds of stuff and a lot of the things that I'd never noticed in music before beyond just, you know, the beat and the lyrics.
Arslan, I have this big smile on my face, man, because I knew this conversation was going to go that way. I knew from seeing you on stage and just our brief encounter, I knew exactly where you were coming from. You're confirming everything that I thought from a five-minute, hey, man, I got to talk to you thing, and seeing you on stage. I love this. I love that you're making this connection with all these different music forms. I love the way that you do it and incorporate it into things that you're doing. I'm smiling my face off here, bud.
Well, thank you very much. So am I, man. I really, really appreciate
this. This is a blast. Where are you going to be next?
We are headed up to the Rhythm and Roots Festival in Rhode Island.
Okay, yeah.
At the end of August.
Well, people got to
go. We'll be up there.
People got to go find
We'll be up there. We're toning it. We slowed it down a little bit. Like I said, everybody's having babies. Wrench just had a son. I had one in December. And Dolio's son was just born last week. So, you know, there's always little Gangstagrass wings running around.
Yeah.
But we're headed back out on the road in November for a couple of weeks and then probably take another break for the holidays. And I'm hoping we're going to, you know, do what we did at the beginning of this year and go out for a while. We were out for like a month in end of January and through February.
Okay.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
stuff.
All right, so we can probably find, if we Google Gangstagrass, we can probably find information about
Gangstagrass.com, yeah.
And where can we find the stuff you're talking about, your own projects? How do we get access to that, can we?
There's a new, it's a 5 EP. It's called Monkey Knife Fights and a Fistful of Pancakes. The group is Mental Advisory, myself, and Dolio. Wrench is on the album. Dolio's brother, 5-1, is an MC out in San Diego, and he's amazing. He's on the album. It's five songs that we just put together, and it's phenomenal stuff. It's really good. Wrench steals the show, man. He really does. We had done the song, and then he sent it to Wrench. We're like, yeah, he's going to put something on it, and he did it, and we were like, wait. We were about to put it out, and then we had the guy that was mastering it. We were like, wait, you have to do this and put this on because Wrench murders this song.
I got to get that. I don't know how I'm going to find it, but I'll find it, and I'll get
it. It's on iTunes.
Okay.
It's on iTunes.
All right.
Mental Advisory is the name of the group, and the EP title is Monkey Knife Fights and a Fistful of Pancakes.
Got it. It's a hard name to forget. Once you get it in your head, it's kind of a hard image to even forget. You
know? Yeah, it's one of those things that we just came up with on the room, like these random things that get said. We're like, all right, well, that's about to get out.
Oh, man. Listen, man, I'm going to let you go. I know you got stuff going on, and but I've enjoyed it. I hope you come back sometime. Let's do this again. We'll talk about it in the future. Is that okay?
Thank you so much. And to everybody listening, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Steve, you're a phenomenal human being. Thank you so much for the pen.
All right.
And for the call and for everything. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I enjoyed every second of it, my brother. I'll talk to you down the road then.
All right, man. Have a good one.
See you, bye. How much fun was that? I have to tell you, I've been waiting for this at Gray Fox. By the way, you're listening to Unreal Bluegrass. Sometimes I forget to come back and let you know where you are if you're stumbling around the internet. It's not as easy as twisting a dial, but if you happen to have come here, you listen to Unreal Bluegrass. That was Our Son, the Voice of Reason from Gangstagrass. And I think hearing them perform, seeing them perform live, hearing and seeing both, it's very important that you do both. And then Arsene and I just talked for a few minutes before and after the show, and the pen he's talking about, the dude loves pens, and I had a pen that was from a radio station that I do another job on, and it had a flashlight on the end. And that was my 10th flashlight, man. I thought, you want this pen, you like this pen, take it. So that's the pen he's got in his pocket. So it's shine a light on the world, I think, and let's have we need a voice of reason somewhere, I think. And I think that's the guy that he can help us do it. I hope you have a new appreciation of hip-hop. I hope you have a new appreciation of Gangstagrass and what they're doing. It's not a gimmick, folks. I've seen it. They tear the crowd up. People love them. Everything coming from the stage is very positive. It's very musical. It's very creative. And it's very just right on the edge. You can tell when they're doing these things that it's they're making it real. They're making it new as they look at the crowd, and that's what I wanted Our Son to get into. So, cool guy, Our Son, the Voice of Reason. I hope you enjoyed that. I did. And I'm going to make sure that I find the whole monkey pancake thing, too. I wrote it down, but I can't read my handwriting. I'll find it later. And you're listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass, and I'll be back in just a bit.